Good morning. I'll let John figure out the strength of the signal here. We had our Sunday school promotion Sunday this morning, and so moms and dads, your kids have survived. They all got little books they can write in and send you love notes. We've been working through a series called God Is. And how many of you remember what the other two messages? I know I'm really running a risk here because I'm not trying to determine whether you're listening or not, but I'm just trying to figure out, do you remember what two messages were? What was one of them? God is light. What was the first message? God is love. And so tonight, yes. Whew, it's been a long day already. Today we're going to be looking at God is life. Before we do that, it's good to have Terry here this morning. And Terry, we have been praying for you, and we'll continue to pray for you as you continue to recover. Good to see you. As I mentioned in our Adult Bible Fellowship this morning, Jim and Olya Weens, who live in Russia, who are serving and part of our minister, part of the Fellowship of Evangelical Bible Churches. Olya has COVID and is in the hospital right now. They have three children. And if you read the letter that I sent, you realize that there is a potential for more complications unless she's cared for properly. And so pray that the Lord would intervene. And I wanted to just pray for them this morning. I want to certainly pray for our service. I thank you, Eric, for leading us already. And I want to thank the Lord for Terry being here today. And for each one who's here, we also want to remember our sister church, Emmaus Bible Church, is having their picnic today and hope to have a good time. And we're hoping to have ours on October 4th, so mark your calendar. Just so you remember, next Sunday we'll be breaking bread together, gathering around the Lord's table to remember his death and resurrection. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for each home, for each mom and dad and boys and girls. And thank you, Lord, that they represent the life that you have given. Thank you that you are love, that you are light, and that you take care of us and you understand us in our frailties and our weaknesses. Thank you that you forgive us and understand us. Father, we do depend upon you for daily breath, for daily understanding and perspective. I pray for Jim and Olya as they serve you in Russia. And Lord, you know the needs of that family. You know Olya's condition. And Lord, we pray that your hand of mercy would be upon them, that you might intervene on their behalf, and that you'd watch over them. Pray for Peter and Maria and Lillian, as they too wait for their mama, and hopefully she'll recover. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer in relation to Terry, and thank you, Lord, that we can be here together and give you praise, glory, and honor. And I pray that you'd continue to have your hand upon him and allow him, Lord, to see your goodness for many more days. Lord, you know the burdens that each of us has, the cares, the concerns, and so we pray that you would undertake, be with those who couldn't be with us today and undertake for them. Again, we pray for Emmaus Bible Church, and as they gather together and have some time outside with children and families and just fellowshipping, just pray that you'd bless that time and that you would further the growth of that church. Thank you, Lord, for each one here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is life? How would you answer that? Why don't you turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. You have an outline. How many of you need an outline? If you need an outline, put your hand up, and we'll make sure you get one. Everybody's got one? Good. We read the last verse of Psalm 16, a beautiful, beautiful statement about life. You see, for many, life is simply breathing. A living existence, going to work to make money to pay bills, to somehow satisfy my desires. For many, life is a daily existence, unfortunately, without any hope. You'd say, that can't be life. And yet for many, life consists of possessions and power, influence. And so the Lord Jesus said, and it's in your handout in Luke 12:15, he said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. We have the haves and the have-nots, and I've been in parts of the world where the have-nots would like to have what the haves have. Pardon me. And they make statements like this, you know, if I were in Canada, I would take care of the people here in Haiti or the Philippines. And you know something? A lot of Filipinos are doing just that. They're sending money back and they're living sacrificially here so that their families can survive. But for some reason, we need to appreciate that life doesn't consist simply in meeting other people's needs. We know that God created life, and that life is more than simply some biological process or even interaction with other people. Life is more than that. Life has always meant more than a simple existence in time, and life has always meant to be understood in light of our relationship with God and then with others. Although we seek to nurture these relationships simultaneously, God is to be first and foremost. And so our lives, your life, my life, is marked by relationships. Our relationships are meant to bring quality to the life that you have. In fact, it is our relationship with God and with each other that brings about the kind of life that God intends you to have as you depend upon Him. And so in the beginning, God created. He made them male and female. And so Adam and Eve experienced life, although we don't know how long it was, don't know how brief, but that they experienced life as God intended it, sheltered in the Garden of Eden. And so it was abundant life that they were experiencing, the same life that the Lord Jesus offers to you and I, as we read in John 10, we'll refer to a little later. Now, you would be hard-pressed to find a statement in Scripture that says, God is life. But we do have phrases in Scripture that says that God is the living God. And so in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll see these different phrases, and you might want to underline them. He is the living God. Now, we live in a world where people worship many different gods. And so how are we to distinguish between the Hindu God and the God of Scripture? You say, well, how did this happen? How did man lose sight that there is only one God, and there is only one who originates life, and there is only one who can give life? And so you can read about that in Genesis 11, where God, in essence, disinherited the nations, and he gave the nations to the angels to govern. And they were going to be held responsible for governing the world and teaching the world what God expected. You can read about that in Psalm 82. And Deuteronomy 32:8-9. Now we know that over time, man has been deceived into believing, yes, in fact, that there are many gods, and hence we have many religions. And the belief is that with these many gods have the ability, in fact, to create and to govern the world. And yet, as we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25-31, the Yahweh of Scripture, the God of the Bible, in no uncertain terms, has declared himself to be the one and only true God. There is none like him, no one to compare to. And so let's read verses 25 to 31 in Isaiah 40. Many of you have verses 30 and 31 likely underlined in your Bible, but it's within a larger context of Scripture. And it's meant to convey the idea that God is the one who brings life. And so to whom will you compare me, Yahweh says? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? In other words, who gave them life? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. And because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. You know, you could look up night after night and you can see in this part of our hemisphere the Big Dipper. You can see the Northern Star. You could see Orion's belt throughout the year. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator. Yes, the sustainer, the one who gives life of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength because he gives life. Gives life to your being, not simply in existence, but to how you're to relate to God, to give him praise and glory and honor, to worship him as he deserves. It says that they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. God is the originator of life. In the beginning, God created, even as we're reminded here from Isaiah chapter 40. In Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You say, well, that must mean simply a biological existence. Well, first of all, you can't have any sense of consciousness of God or even any self-awareness unless you can breathe. And so God gave you that ability so that when you breathed your first and you opened your eyes for the first time and you were spanked on your rump so that you could cry and take in oxygen, you became aware of your surrounding and everything outside of the bubble inside of the womb. Even there, you were conscious of your existence as an infant, all by God's design. In Genesis 2:9 says, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life. And by the time you come to Revelation chapter 22, there's the tree of life again. And life is more than some simple existence. It's an awareness of our Creator and its appreciation for the life that he's granted you, a life to be enjoyed. In Hebrews 11:3, and this is something you might want to underline, by faith. Everything that we're saying here today, everything that we read here today and that we accept as truth is received by faith. It's not blind. What do you mean? Because God has preserved it. Everything that you have, every breath that you take has been given to you by God. And so then when you read the words of God, you begin to accept the fact that they are true. And you believe them by faith because God has said them and declared them. And so by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And so God is the originator of life. But life as we know it needs to be understood as a gift from God. Everything that you have comes from him. Nothing that you have can you take credit for. He has given you the power, the ability, the knowledge, the wisdom to be able to do the very things that you get to enjoy. In Job chapter 10, verse 12, You might want to turn in your Bibles to that passage. But Job, in the midst of this realization, in the midst of the pain and the suffering, the disillusionment, having lost his family, this is what he says. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. A man who understood loss. As we read in Psalm 16:11, you have made known to me the path of life. And with that, you fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And as we read last week, as we talked about light, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. To see light is not to simply recognize the light spectrum. It's not to recognize simply the beautiful hues of colors that are taking place. As somebody drove on the driveway last night, came out of his car, and he was, an Asian, possibly Chinese, Japanese, Korean, I'm not sure which one, but stopped and decided to take a picture of the trees on the south side because the leaves have already turned yellow. And there was a smile on his face as he was looking through his iPhone or whatever it was, his Android phone, and taking that picture and simply saying, that's beautiful. But life is more than that. The light is to be able to perceive as God intends life to be. God created man to enjoy life, but to not enjoy life in independence, but rather to enjoy life with his creator and with his fellow man. Of course, this would include the blessings of worship of God and prayer, as we spent time here already this morning, as you spent time likely around your family altar and opening the word and bowing the knee and taking your children through a devotion this morning. No, the blessings include, yes, worship of God, but it also includes marriage and procreation, children, work, and friends. This is the life that God wants us to enjoy, the developing of our skills with creative mind to experience wealth and a godly influence, and all of that to the degree to which we're willing to give God the credit and the glory. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. And as you're doing that, I just want you to note in your outline, there's a mistake here. There's a reference to Psalm 110, verse 10. It actually should be Psalm 111, verse 10. And so as you think about all of these things I just referred to, they are gifts from God. And these gifts stem from a healthy understanding of the boundaries that God has established, even in the midst of a sinful world. You can enjoy life as God intended it, even though it is limited in time. And this healthy understanding is what the Bible refers to as the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. Now, boys and girls, you got your Bibles. You need to follow along. You don't know where Proverbs is, you get mom and dad to give you a hand. Proverbs 14:27. Listen to what it says. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Think about that. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It's to recognize that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the designer of life. He is the originator, the sustainer, the giver. He is the breath. He's the one to whom we seek to have understanding and wisdom. And so in Proverbs 19:23, it says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, the kind of life that God intends. And then one rests content and untouched by trouble. You say, I'm touched by trouble. All of us can witness trouble, and when we decide to work in the midst of the trouble and seeking to help people, we are touched by it in that sense, but we are not hurt by it in the sense that it injures us to destroy our relationship with God Because we trust God and we sustain our life by depending upon him for the very life he intends us to have. Turn with me just a few pages over to Proverbs chapter 8, and going back to verse 35. This dependence upon the Lord, this fear of the Lord upon which God's asking you to depend, is referred to as wisdom. If you depend upon God, that is wisdom. In Proverbs 8:35, it says, "For whoever finds me finds life." And Proverbs chapter 8 is a chapter in the personification of wisdom. And whoever finds life receives favor through that wisdom, through that dependence, favor from the Lord. Go over to Proverbs 21:21, a few pages over. Oh, I love life. I can well remember walking through Lake Superior Provincial Park in the fall. And as the sun is coming through, and it's a nice cool morning, but yet the leaves are turning, and you can see all these different hues, and then coming to a stream and just putting your water bottle into the stream and saying, okay, I hope nobody upstream did anything here. I'm going to take a drink and enjoy it. Going on the Orphan Lake Trail, looking over and seeing the great big white pines and just enjoying God's creation, knowing that God created that so that you would give him glory, so that you would find peace and rest, as you know that everything that you have and everything that we get to benefit comes from him. And so in Proverbs 21:21, we read, "He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." Finding life. But seek ye first. Matthew 6:33. You can put that in a margin next there to verse 21. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What? All that you need to live a godly life. Everything that you need, God has provided. Turn over a few pages to the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 5. Ecclesiastes, just a few pages over for you boys and girls. Where is Ecclesiastes? Why did they name it that name? Yeah. Ecclesiastes, a beautiful book, certainly has puzzled many people. Verse 19. "Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them and to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is the gift of God." You might want to underline that. The very job that you have, the things that you get to enjoy, the fruit of your labor, this is all by God's design. But be sure to give him the glory. Because if you don't, you'll not be happy with the very things that he's provided you with. Because one of the very clear signs of a self-destructive life is ingratitude, being unthankful for what God has provided. Go over to chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Here we read that wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. And so your life. Now, you had a busy week filled with activity. You did things you wanted to do, and you likely did things you had to do. And in the midst of that, you might have done some things you didn't want to do. And likely you did things you shouldn't have done. And you know, in the midst of all of that, and you weigh it, and you begin to recognize, as you filter all of that, where is the quality in your life? What did your life amount to? If you gave God the glory and you depended upon him, even in those difficult things, and where you made choices that were wrong and you confessed them, God says, "I still give you life because I love you and I want to take care of you. I want you to enjoy life. The Old Testament mentions the concept of the living God found some 15 times in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 10:10 says this, "But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God, the eternal King." Daniel 6:26 says this, and this is coming from Nebuchadnezzar, says, "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God." My God is a living God. He gives life to everything, and I praise him for that. The New Testament also mentions the fact that we have a living God, found some 13 times in the New Testament. Peter says in Matthew 16:16, where it's recorded, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus is the source of your life today. I didn't understand that very much as a child. As a teenager and preteen, I was starting to give thought to who God is. I didn't know that Jesus was coming back. I had no idea. I didn't know anything about tribulation period, the rapture, or any of these kinds of things. I just simply thought I was going to die, and then I'd have to meet God and determine. God would have to determine whether I was good enough. In John 1:4, we read, "In him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Turn over to the Gospel of John. I'm going to be there for a bit, okay? John 3:15 and 16. Verses that we teach our Sunday school kids, we teach our children, we want them to memorize them. And many of us here can recite them in translations that we've memorized in. But you have to realize that there's probably more here than you and I can fully appreciate. Everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whether you want to say eternal life or everlasting life, that's fine. But I want you to understand that the life that God offers you is the life that he intended you and I to have. John chapter 10, verse 10. As he was speaking with his disciples, and he was making reference to all of these sheep that are lost, making reference to the fact that he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he says, "I have come so that my sheep could have life and have life abundantly." Abundant life is more than possessions. It's relationship with God, joy and peace. John 11:25. There's been a death, and the people don't realize there's going to be a resurrection. Between here and the time of the Lord's return, people are dying every second. Unless the Lord returns, you and I are going to die. Unless the Lord's return, we're going to witness each other dying. And unless the Lord returns, we're going to witness our children dying, and we're going to witness our parents dying. And it's going to overwhelm us. Because you can't understand life apart from faith. Martha believed. Martha had faith. She understood that Jesus was the Messiah. He was a creator and sustainer of life, and he was the one and the only one who could raise people. But little did she know that the Lord Jesus, in his mercy, would raise Lazarus. So they would have a tangible expression, a real understanding of what resurrection's all about and the power of God to raise the dead. And so in 11:25, we read, "I am the resurrection and the life. Every time a man and a woman have intimacy and there's a possibility of conception, there is life. But that life can only happen as God deems it fit, only as He determines it. He is life. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you want to have life? You need Jesus. If you want to have life today as God intended it, you need to depend upon the Lord Jesus. You've got to quit running in your own direction. You need to turn to Him because He is the only one who can give you life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father except through me. Turn over a few pages, John chapter 17, verse 3. You want to underline this verse because now you're going to understand what life is. How is life related to knowledge? And this has all to do with an intimate knowing, an intimate understanding, an intimate appreciation, an intimate desire to know God as He wants to be known by you and by me. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Remember Isaiah 40, verses 25 and following. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, to know who? The only true God. Our God is true to us, but He is the only God and none compared to Him. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Verses that we memorized years ago in our small groups. And I can still remember we would go around the room and ask people to recite their verses. And for some people, it was sort of a first-time kind of thing where I got it. I got this verse memorized. Now I got to appreciate this truth. 1 John 5, 12, he who has a son has life. Question is, do you have the son? Oh yeah, I placed my trust in Jesus when I was a little boy, a little girl. I have Jesus, I have life. You only have life to the degree that you depend upon Him for that life. The extent of that life, the quality of that life is determined by your prayerful dependence and your worship of God, your confession of your sinfulness, and your dependence and expression that I need you, Lord, every moment of every day. 1 Corinthians 15. 55 and 57. Death is more than simply dying. But death itself cannot keep us in the grave. Death is an impoverished life that God never ever wanted you to have. The impoverished life is a life where you decide how you want to live independent of God. And it'll hurt you and everyone around you. And you don't need to live like that. God never designed life to be lived like that. And so that's why He sent His Son, so He could teach us how to live. So that we would enjoy life. Enjoying the journey. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Rhetorical questions. No victory in death. No sting in death. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Underline. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us life. And so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's where I'm taking you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I just kept reading my notes here. Sorry. Verses 8 to 10. There's life in the room, isn't there? I love it. I can remember as a child feeling pretty insecure and crying. You know, every time your parents leave, you sometimes wonder, are they leaving for good? That's how insecure I felt sometimes. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to underline a holy life. So what's a holy life? Is that a perfect life? No. A holy life is simply a life that recognizes their dependence upon the Lord. And it's a confessing life. It's a forgiving life. It's a life of surrender. It's a life that recognizes that God loves them. And it's not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. And it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the euangelion, through the good news, the gospel. Helen Howarth Lemmel says, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There is light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into everlasting life, he passed and we follow him there, or us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Interesting. You should maybe pick that up, Sam. What do you think? Yeah, I got competition on the stage here. Where does your life come from? My life comes from the Lord. Do you have joy in your life? Real joy consists in relationship because God is life. Do you have peace? You can only have peace if you have life. And that life comes through Jesus Christ. If you're seeking to walk with the Lord, you're amongst millions and millions of believers around the world, in various languages and ways, and who experience failure and disappointment, and yet who bow the knee, who experience joy and peace. They do so because they have an abiding fellowship with the Lord. We may differ on theology. We may differ on how do we practice church. But we can all agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. As we walk by faith and we trust him for life, only then will we experience joy and peace. Man's life does not consist of his possessions. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall gain it. I choose to give my life away so I can have life. What about you? God is life. God is light. And God is love. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We bow before you. We humbly acknowledge our need of you. We confess our inability to sort things out in life without you. And we're grateful that you have actually hung around, Lord, given us your word, bringing people into our lives who remind us of your marvelous grace. I too, Lord, just thank you for dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to thank you, Lord, for Ron Henson, who celebrated a birthday earlier this week, who helped mentor me and taught me how to live. I want to thank you, Lord, for Mrs. Greening, who celebrated her 93rd birthday this week, who also just is dependent upon you, loves you, and is dependent upon you every moment of every day, and who's modeling what it means to follow you. Help us, Lord, to model the life you intended. Give us peace. Give us joy. Because nothing else in this world can. Only you can. And we commit that to you, our lives to you afresh. Even if it means we have to deny ourselves and die daily. Even if we have to give our lives up so that we can have your life. May we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord give you peace. Have a great day. Enjoy the beautiful sunshine. Get out and enjoy the weather. Still beautiful out there. Lord bless you.